now in the gift shop, 2401 60th Street, Kenosha.
This is WGTD-FM. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jess Sheeler, an outreach and career transition specialist at Job Corps, Steve Brown, assistant professor of education leadership at UW Oshkosh, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Manji. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. I'm Dwayne Olson, your host today for Education Matters on WGTD-HD, Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin, at 91.1 on your FM dial, and 101.7 in Elkhorn, and 103.3 in Lake Geneva. WGTD is a member of the Wisconsin Public Radio Network. Before we meet today's guest, I want to share with you some research on Sesame Street, which deals with early childhood education, and early childhood education is the focus of today's program. This research was done by Melissa Carney of the University of Maryland and Philip Levine of Wellesley College. Interestingly, Jim Tankersley, writing about this research in the Washington Post, indicates that, and I quote here, "The influence is particularly strong for boys, African Americans, and children who grow up in disadvantaged areas." Tankersley also indicates that the show has delivered lasting educational benefits to millions of American children, benefits as powerful as the ones children get from going to preschool. So to our listeners, I say, urge your young friends to listen to Sesame Street as often as they can, and if you can, join your children in listening to and discussing the program. Now to our program and today's guest. One of the experiences I never had as a teacher was teaching in an international school in another country. Today's guest, Tim Tuttle, a 2004 graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, has taught in Racine Unified at Julian Thomas Elementary and Jefferson Lighthouse Elementary, as well as in two countries, Turkey and South Korea. Tim currently teaches in South Korea and returned there in early January after a holiday vacation with his family in Racine. Welcome, Tim Tuttle, to Education Matters today, and thank you for taking your time to share with our listeners information about your teaching experiences in both Racine Unified and overseas in Turkey and Korea.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Great. Tim is a Racine native, a graduate of Case High School, and has been teaching some, 13 years?
Something like that, yeah.
There you go. Tepa Fugit, I guess, huh? In kindergarten through grade 2. By the way, if the name Tuttle is familiar, Tim has cousins who are teachers and administrators in both Kenosha and Racine Unified School Districts. So to get us started, Tim, tell our listeners how you got into PK3 teaching in the first place, including your experience at Jack and Jill Daycare here in Racine, as well as your 3 student teaching experiences in Kenosha Unified.
Sure. So I've always been interested in the growth and development of young children, and just spending the time in the child care centers when I was in college really just solidified that interest for me, and so I've always wanted to be a teacher, and so I,
So that led into your teaching career?
For early childhood.
And I was just reading something in today's paper that they're having a hard time finding staff for daycare centers because they don't pay very well and that sort of thing, so that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I could see that.
That our society doesn't care enough to get kids started well.
Yeah.
So when we visited last week, you indicated that both of the international schools where you have taught are based on the Reggio Emilia approach to teaching and learning. You also participated in a workshop in Italy on this approach to teaching. Mm-hmm. Tell our listeners what that is about, what that program is about.
So the schools I've worked for in both countries are IB-PYP schools. So they're not just Reggio Emilia schools, but we do draw from the philosophies of the schools in Italy. So, and it's really, there's a big emphasis on student agency or student ownership of their learning and the image of the child and their capabilities. And
go ahead. And, no. so they're really interested about developing what, the whole child?
Yes. Yeah.
Great. Okay. So in your first school year in Korea, you taught first grade. In the following three school years, you taught kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
Where is your school located? Who are your students? What are their backgrounds?
So my school is located in Songdo, South Korea. So it's just west of Seoul, maybe 30 miles. So
it's a suburb of Seoul, is that it?
Not exactly.
A little farther west.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So sort of like Racine to Kenosha. That
yes.
Or maybe Racine to Milwaukee.
Yes.
Mm, yeah.
Okay, and what are you teaching?
So right now I'm an early year specialist, and I teach all pre-K and kindergarten classes in the school, and they're from all over the world, but mostly from South Korea.
Mostly from out South Korea. And mm-hmm. and whose children are they? Who are their parents?
Mm. So a lot of them are from different businesses that are located in Korea.
Okay, yeah. Different business. And any from diplomatic corps or anything like that? Or
I did in Turkey when I worked there. There were, yes, but not so much in where I'm at now.
And the language of the school is English, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that was my next question. What's the teaching language in your school, and what countries do the students come from? A kind of repeat of what we just talked about.
Yeah, so, I mean, any early years teacher knows language and is embedded in everything that we do. So we have a large focus on oral language development because most of our students are learning English as a second language. And so we give lots of opportunities to build that confidence in their language and lots of chances to speak, listen, and understand.
Oh, okay. So how about your own development? Do you have any inclination picking up Korean or to use with kids and so forth?
Yeah, so that's one big difference between my time in Turkey and my time in Korea. There's much less need for me to learn Korean in Korea because many, many people speak English. But that was sort of the opposite in Turkey, where if I wanted to travel and get around and, you know, just get what I needed out of everyday life, I needed to learn a little bit of Turkish.
And so you learn more language in Turkey than you have of Korean.
Yes.
And so on. Okay, so this school, you're a specialist rather than a regular kindergarten or first grade teacher. So what does a specialist do?
Yeah, so it's sort of a new thing. My title's early year specialist, so I'm a little bit of everything.
Okay.
So I teach a lot of art lessons, different art, music, and drama, dance, movement for young children. And I also do a lot of support for the homeroom teachers. So I spend...
What does that mean, support for the... Going into their classrooms and teaching art or...
Sometimes, yes, correct. Or I just support the regular curriculum. So we might do a collaborative lesson that the focus is mostly literacy or math. So I do everything, even a little PE. Yeah.
Co-teaching then.
Yep.
Who assigns that then? Is there a principal who assigns that, or do you? Is that just what you do when you are inspired to do it?
So I meet with the teachers once a week, and I mean we all meet once a week.
Uh huh.
So we find out what's happening, what the children's interests are, and where their curriculum might be headed towards, and then we plan accordingly. It's really on the go curriculum development. We don't have, we have a plan, but we are open to the shift
yes.
and changes of the children's needs, yeah.
But so if a teacher wants you to come for a particular lesson or lessons, you work that into your schedule to work with him or her.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, yeah. And speaking of him or her, are they mostly women teachers? Any other men teachers besides yourself?
Yeah, there are, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so overseas I've met a lot more early years teachers that are males
okay.
than I did here in Racine.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. So is discipline ever an issue? Thought occurred to me as I was thinking about interviewing you today.
Discipline and classroom management's always an issue, no matter what school you're at,
oh,
I think.
Go ahead. I'm sure we're all interested.
Well, it's a subject that teachers could talk about forever, and we do. But
okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's always something going on. There's always, you know, something to be learned in that area in any school and anywhere in the world. So,
okay, children interacting with one another, and sometimes they get to be challenges.
That's correct, especially in the early childhood years. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So tell us a little more specifically what your areas of specialty are, and then what the specialists, your other two specialists, do too.
Sure. So there's two of us that are early year specialists, and we together plan a curriculum that covers multiple different things, mostly the arts, and we just make sure that children are getting a well-balanced exposure to a lot of different choices, a lot of different things that they might, you know, fall interested in and then take further in older grades. And the children also see the PE teachers, and they spend time in the gymnasium. They go to the library. We have a design center that they visit. We have tech ed. We have everything that, you know, the schools here have also.
So how many students in a class, in a particular class, and how many students in the school overall?
The whole school is a pre-K through 12 school, so
yes.
There's 1,200 students.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And in the early childhood department, we have about 110, and so there's 7 total classes with about 18 to 20 students.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you mentioned, that the swimming is part of the phys ed curriculum, is that right?
That's correct, yeah. We have a full swimming pool, and the earlier students go once a week to the swimming pool.
Okay, yeah. And the design center, what's involved in that?
Yeah, so we call it the maker space, and it's popular in a lot of international schools, where they get to test theories and try different things and fail and try again.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what kind of equipment in the makerspace? Because I know makerspaces are becoming popular here in the United States. I think the Racine Public Library has a makerspace, and other educational facilities have makerspaces.
Yeah, that's great. There's a lot of different materials that they can test out. I mean, even Lego to wood and nails and drills and saws, and that we even have 3D printer and laser cutters, thing, you know.
Yes.
Anything you can imagine, we'll try it.
Okay. So really it's very open in terms of what you bring in and so forth, or ask for to have available for the children.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that sounds most interesting. And then, so what's your specialty?
So, my specialty is early childhood and development, but mostly I teach what it looks like when I teach is, it looks like the arts.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. The arts, okay, great. By that we mean?
Music, visual art, drama, movement, yeah.
Do you play guitar or sing? Is that the idea?
I'm learning guitar.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, you don't have to be a rock star when you work with 4 and 5 year olds.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So. Okay. So thinking in terms of your international teaching experiences in Turkey and Korea, what one approach from these experiences would you recommend to Racine Unified?
Sure. So I think one thing I really love about the school I'm at now and other schools internationally is like their emphasis on the growth and development of the whole child. And I mean, of course we focus on literacy and math, but it isn't as strong an emphasis in early childhood. We're really, you know, we play a lot and we experience a lot of different things and we talk about that and move forward from there. And it's just like a really holistic way to or approach to learning.
Okay, and so you build on student experiences then mm-hmm. to gain the idea of language.
I mean, not just language, sure. So even math or
yes,
or you know, phonics or whatever might come out of an experience, or even a child's play. You know, they might be building something with blocks, and we might
yes.
initiate a conversation about what they're building, and who knows where that might go.
Yeah, right. And counting those blocks, is that and
sure.
whatever yeah. leads from that.
Yep.
Okay, that really sounds almost like an ideal curriculum.
Yeah.
Is there, I didn't ask you this before or think about this before, is there testing then? We're in the United States, we're very concerned about testing and test results, particularly in reading and math and, mm-hmm. you know, language arts. Is there testing that's done so that you know that your children have achieved or what?
Sure. At the school, there's testing. Yes, we do have standardized testing. We do the MAP test.
Ah.
And also other things in the older grades, but in the pre-K classroom, 4, 5, and 6-year-olds, they don't take any standardized testing. We observe a lot and we take a lot of notes of what they're doing, make records of that,
uh-huh.
and see where we need to push them further, so or expose them to something different to spark new interest in something else or new learning in something new. So that's how we formative assess as we go along.
Okay. And like, do the teachers say in the upper grades, maybe 3rd, 4th, 5th, or mm-hmm. whatever, do they say, would you give the kids more experiences doing thus and so, or do they ever say that or not?
We do meet with the older, you know, we have meetings with grade 1 teachers, grade 2 teachers sometimes, and I'm not really I don't think they would say, could you make sure you cover this more? It would be more, we're seeing this, we're seeing that, and then we respond. So it's not necessarily get them ready for this or that, but,
uh-huh.
you know, this is where they're at, and this is, you know, could we push a little here, you know.
Okay. What one approach then from these experiences would you recommend to Racine Unified? I think you're in that question now.
Yeah, so that's I think when we're talking about what I really, really miss about teaching in Racine and in some time that I spent in Kenosha is just the huge network of other teachers that you get to know and get to know you and you have at your disposal for support or whatever you might need. In international teaching, it's pretty transient, so you're not there permanently, right? It's not your home forever. And so a lot of teachers leave after maybe even 2 years, and you meet a lot of people that way, and it's interesting and it's exciting, but there's, you know, longevity of relationships that you have often fizzle because they're across the world now or
right.
whatever. I mean, with the internet now, it's really easy to stay connected and reach out, but that's something that I really, you know, miss about teaching here.
Okay, right, and because there was a network of teachers or colleagues
yeah.
that you could depend upon for ideas and
mm-hmm.
et cetera.
Yeah, even just talking things over, what
yes.
should I do, yep.
Right, problems that you have and so
sure.
forth, whereas is the staff there is more transient
yes.
than.
I mean, you have that, but it's not as deep and it's not part of, like, the deep culture that, you know, the teaching culture in well, at least Racine Kenosha is strong. We look out for one another and we're there for each other, and that's really, I still feel a part of that.
Right.
Even being across the other side of the world, but that's something that, yeah, that I don't have as strongly, yeah.
There, okay.
Right,
do you email with teachers, say, in Racine Unified or any former colleagues that and for ideas or anything like that? Or?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell our listeners a little bit about that, because I think that's a real commendation, you know, for them and for you.
Sure. Just the relationships that you build over the years and being employed at Racine Unified for 6 years, you you have friendships that last forever, and
yes.
So staying in contact with them is easier now. So right. Yeah, so I've emailed and asked about different approaches that what is Racine doing? What is we're doing this, what are you doing? Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there is an exchange of ideas then, even though you're thousands of miles apart.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's great to have colleagues that are yeah. supportive like that.
Yeah. And I think you take that experience with you everywhere you go, whatever good or bad, you take what you learned from the different schools you've worked at and bring that with you.
Well, that's the benefit of experience, and whereas experienced teachers have a greater background than people who are just new mm-hmm. at the profession. Okay, so where do the teachers come from that are in your school there in Korea?
Yeah, they're from all over the world, mostly English-speaking countries, but not always. So we have, literally teachers from everywhere. Every corner.
Yeah, give me a couple, three specific examples then of your fellow teachers. Then yeah. where they're. You told me that there's another male from what, California?
Right. Correct. Yeah. He's a pre-K teacher. Yeah.
Okay.
But we have even Korean American teachers that are from California or Utah or somewhere, and they're now working in Korea, reconnecting with their culture, which is really special, amazing. But yeah, we have teachers from Romania, from in the English speaking countries, the UK,
yes.
Australia, New Zealand, India, everywhere.
Well, I'm saying that's certainly a great benefit then for the students because of their picking up information and ideas from the various cultures.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That they are exposed to.
Right. It's almost part of the curriculum where we come from or the staff and teachers come from gets celebrated too, just like what we would do for the students and share our experiences from where we live.
In social studies, I'm thinking because that's my area of concern or primary area of concern, do you use maps then so the kids can see where this teacher comes from or this kid comes from or something like that?
Oh, sure, yeah.
You do?
Yeah, of course, yeah. So, I mean, a four-year-old doesn't read a world map as literally as we would do, but we can talk about this is where we are now and this is really far and this is really close and, yeah.
Excellent. Okay. That's really great because, like you in our conversation the other day, you indicated that Americans tend not to know geography very well.
Oh, you just got me in trouble, Dwayne.
There you go. So
yeah, but no, that's true.
But I think it's yeah. Very true. Okay, so let's see, where are we in terms of our questions? Without giving specific numbers, how does teaching abroad compare with teaching in Racine Unified in terms of salary, fringe benefits, travel opportunities, that sort of thing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, travel is probably the main reason why people might move over across the world to experience different things. But I think, there's usually an opportunity to save money when you're teaching abroad, and that's a large reason why many teachers might do it. Not every school. Every school's different, of course, in different ways, different benefits, different salary, whatever. There's other benefits, too. I mean, the professional development opportunities that you have at some schools is really vast and different and maybe even very personalized. Like, I can choose whatever path that I want to take or whatever my professional goals might be, I can seek out and do different professional development that fits my needs or whatever, where I'm at in my learning as well.
Right.
Yeah. So instead of like, here's the whole district is going to do this professional development.
Yes.
I may have already done that or, need more in something else so I can choose a lot of different. I mean, we also do that too, but yeah. And if other benefits are, if you have school-age children. They usually have a free tuition to the school, mm-hmm. and a lot of the schools internationally are really amazing schools. So that's in private schools where that costs quite a bit of money. So that's a good benefit.
So professional development is they have their professional development that the school wants for its people and so on. But it's also individualized in terms of you identifying your own interests and needs.
Right.
And so on. And one of the things you told me about before was going to Italy to this Emilia school. Mm-hmm. Tell our listeners about that experience.
Yeah. So,
Reggio Emilia.
Yeah. Well, I mean, from Asia, from Korea, getting to Italy is quite a distance,
and yes.
Even from here. So, yeah, so we are all given a certain amount of money. This is the school structure that I work at, so it might be different
right.
if you work at a different school internationally. But we're given a certain amount of money and to spend on professional development, and I saved up that money over a couple of years and use that to fly to Italy and visit the schools in Reggio Emilia and do a study group there and learn all about their philosophy and see it in action and talk with other colleagues that are early childhood teachers. So
that's great. It gives you opportunity not only then to learn about this approach then to teaching and learning,
right.
but also then identifying fellow colleagues then who can work with you in terms of ideas.
Yeah. I mean, we're other early years teachers say we're a special breed. And
that's
when you get to learn and
yes.
talk to and grow with other colleagues. Like
yourself. Well, in addition, you were in Italy, and so you got to pick up some Italian culture.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And what's going on?
That's an opportunity in itself, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So one of the things I didn't ask you about before, and I didn't include in the questions that we were thinking about, was, so what do you do on weekends then? Do you travel then, or are there festivals? What kind of activities are you engaged in?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes you're tired and you just spend the weekend like you would here
and you relax.
Or you clean your house or whatever you do. But
yes.
So, yeah, we live a very normal life, even though
yes.
it's overseas. But there's a lot of opportunity to experience culture that's new and different because you're not in your home. So there's festivals and different holidays to be celebrated and different friends from different cultures that would, you know, teach you something new or give you a new experience. And that's what it's all about, that amazing opportunity to really be a part of another culture.
Right. Yeah, and I like your use of the word culture because, I mean, as I taught social studies methods to elementary and middle and high school teachers, I really concluded that culture is probably one of the most important concepts mm-hmm. that kids or people can learn. Because everybody has culture.
Right, yeah.
And you're getting some wonderful opportunities to pick up ideas about cultures from around the world.
Yeah, yeah, not just culture from South Korea, but from the people that you work with and friends with and all the people you meet when you're there.
Okay, so besides being a certified teacher with a bachelor's and master's degree, what other kinds of qualities would you say that international teachers like yourself should possess? To go about this business.
Yeah, good question. You need to be flexible.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Flexible.
I mean, you have to be open-minded to different ways of doing things and different experiences. You have to really embrace that and not be scared of that. Be
right.
And almost kind of desire that because that is a guarantee that things will be different than what you're used to or the way you've always done something, which is part of what makes it fun and amazing to be
right.
and do. So, yeah, definitely open-minded and flexible and loving to travel is usually, like I said before, main reason why people do that. But you don't even have to love to, travel all over, but it's a plus, I guess.
Right. Okay. And you have to be a risk taker, certainly.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Just venturing out, you know, getting on an airplane and going off to somewhere that's new and different is being a big risk taker.
Sure. Yeah. I think for me, before I moved abroad, I hadn't lived anywhere but Racine, Kenosha area. So after, you know, it just opens your whole world up to different things and possibilities where your life could go.
And one of the, I think one of the real positive things about that then is you bring that world into the classroom for the children that, that you teach.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of our students also have that same type of lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
So if, you know, if they're not really living in the culture that their family is from either, or they might not have even been born in their home country. So that's their life as well. So it's sort of, it starts to develop and grow its own little culture within the school.
Right. And then you can draw on that to help make points in terms of what their learning is about.
Right.
That's really great. At this point, I want to remind our listeners that this is your host, Dwayne Olson, and you're listening to Education Matters on WGTD HD at 91.1 on your radio dial from Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Today, I'm visiting with Tim Tuttle, a 2004 graduate of UW-Parkside, who has taught at Julian Thomas and Jefferson Lighthouse Elementary Schools in Racine Unified, as well as in international schools in Turkey and South Korea. Now back to our program. Before I forget it, I want to mention Department of Defense schools. Now, you had experiences, or at least were you aware of them, in when you were in Turkey and so forth. And this is another alternative that people who are seeking overseas experiences can follow. Then.
That's right, yeah. So they're a different set of schools, and they're all over the world as well. I mean, our military is everywhere, too, so that is an opportunity for people to, you know, go teach military families, students, so, or children. So, yeah, that's a different avenue. That isn't what I do, but I did know and have friends in Turkey because we were in close proximity to the school, the Department of Defense school.
Right, and I wanted to mention this because so for our listeners then to know that this is an alternative kind of approach that they can take if they want to teach overseas.
That's right.
Check out the Department of Defense. Is there any advantage to that, I suppose? But I would certainly think the culture would be all military culture and American culture, and it wouldn't be as diverse as what you're experiencing.
I suppose so, yeah. But I still think that you still get the, you know, especially the country that you're in, it's whatever you make of it is
will affect
what you.
You
learn. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so you reach out as much as you want into the culture.
Right.
Some cultures you might have to push a little harder to really get in there, but I guess just the two countries I've lived in, like Turkish culture is so open and welcoming, and people were asking you to experience this, come to this. Let's, you know.
Oh, really?
Right. And South Korea is a little more conservative, and they're, I mean, it might look like they're less inviting, but they're just more reserved people. So,
do you have South Korean people working in your school then that you get acquainted with and so forth?
Oh, yeah, sure. Many.
Many of them, yeah. Okay. And do sometimes they invite you into their homes or whatever or participate in their activities?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Like I said kind of before about the school starts to develop its own little culture within
right.
a different culture that brings things from all over. And so, yeah, you get to experience that with Korean citizens, too.
Right. Okay. That's great. That's good to hear that. So your master's degree from Cardinal Stritch University is in instructional technology. Tell our listeners about your use of instructional technology in Racine Unified and then in the schools in Turkey and South Korea.
Yes. So 5 years ago, I think, when I was at Jefferson Lighthouse, we didn't have tablets or devices, student devices at the time, but we did have projectors and smart boards, and that was used in everyday teaching. But I And I think that's even changed now since
yes.
5 years ago. So I think a lot of schools have more student access to technology, not just a computer lab or something. It's a lot of iPads or tablets on a cart that goes to the classrooms. And
right.
Yeah. And then in Turkey, it was quite limited. We didn't have a lot of – it wasn't a big technological school that I was at. But, I mean, we had, basic things, teacher computers and
yes.
Projector and things like that. But in Korea, it's much more part of – it's just a part of Korea.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's a high-tech country. So that really is an important part of our school, and it's a big part of our learning to have devices and different technology opportunities. In early childhood, it's a little less of a focus,
yes.
but there – we have access to them. So our school is a one-to-one school for either an iPad or a computer. And so every child from grade 1 through grade 12 has a device, either an iPad or a laptop. But in the pre-K and kindergarten rooms,
right.
we have just a small class set, so maybe 6 iPads or something that we use as an instructional tool when it's appropriate.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. That all technology should be used appropriately. But sometimes I suspect it's not. I always remember early in my teaching career, the football coach and the social studies teacher, who on Friday it was movie day.
Oh,
yeah, because he was busy concentrating on preparing for his football game, that
right.
night and so on. So, and that really bothered me.
Mm.
I was going to say irritated. That too, I guess. So in my opinion, instructional technology is a wonderful tool for student learning. What's keeping it from being used more extensively, or is it being used as extensively as it should be? And are teachers getting the in-service education that they need to use technology well? And does curriculum need to be revised to respond to these learning tools?
I think curriculum is being revised to respond to the tools.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm not sure about, professional development in that area. I think that is just like many things. If you put, you try to learn more about something, then you're going to grow in that area, right? So I don't know what Racine or Kenosha or anywhere is doing to support that or to develop that for teachers, but we definitely do that where at the school I'm currently at. If that's something that a teacher might feel less comfortable in, then there's support for that. We have a very large technology department at the school that is there to teach and support and even model lessons that could involve technology. I agree with you. That's a very important new thing, or not new, but a way that education could shift. But I think in early childhood, it's really important to remember that children need to have experiences. They need to go out. They need to play. They need to touch things and see things. And, the technology that we use should be something that supports that, not instead of.
I like that idea that technology should support doing things mm. rather than instead of doing things, observing somebody else doing
yeah.
whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And that's where these make it.
Yeah, like Makerspace or the Design Center, whatever you call it. We have a lot of those things just in the classrooms. There's a lot of student choice that happens at the school, so whatever they're really, excited about or interested in trying or doing, they have that opportunity.
Right. Okay. So when I visited with you, when I interviewed you in 2015, you indicated you'd done gone to a job fair in Cambridge, Massachusetts, to learn about private international schools. Tell our listeners about that aspect of securing a teaching position. That, you know, one of the things I have thought about is, you know, people traveling overseas and going to a school and deciding to see if I can teach there. That probably is not a very good idea, is it? Or does it happen sometimes?
It does happen sometimes, sure. I mean, if you might be traveling for a different reason, you might stop at a school that you might want to work at someday, and who knows, you know? But mostly, there's a different structure for obtaining a teaching position overseas. So, like, I'm a part of an agency that connects schools to teachers, but you don't even really have to do that. You could email and, you know, FaceTime or Skype interview with a school.
Directly to the school?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you could avoid the whole international organization completely if you wanted to, if you knew of a school and so forth.
That's right, you could. But, I mean, I think one of the best pieces of advice I got when getting into international teaching was don't limit your options or don't narrow your desire to teach somewhere so small. Keep your mind open to anywhere in different parts of the world, because you never know how happy you might be at a certain country or a certain school for whatever reason. And you don't really know what the school's like or about until you learn a little more.
And also, I think that even if you took an opportunity that maybe you not particularly like, that would look good on your resume, so that applying for the next job that may be more attractive, mm-hmm. that they'd say, well, he or she was successful here. Mm-hmm. He'll certainly be successful in my school.
Sure, yeah. I mean, any experience is something that you can learn from, right?
Right, exactly. So do you have people in your school then who have come out of the blue, so to speak, or not? Or do they come through agencies like you came through?
Oh, sure. So the school I teach at has a sister school in California.
Okay.
So we even have teachers that have moved from the California campus to the Korean campus, which is pretty cool that we have that connection. Or that network to go back and forth from. But, yeah, there's teachers that have come from everywhere, and maybe they knew somebody or somehow they learned about our school and, you know, wasn't through one of the agencies. But, yeah.
So our time is almost up. Mm-hmm. So is there anything that you would like to add in closing, Tim?
Yeah, I think I would just, if you're thinking about teaching abroad or moving across the world, give it a shot, you know. Learn more about it. Don't just dismiss it. Like, I mean, I talk about what I do to a lot of people, and they, oh, I could never do that. But you never know, you know. Look into it. It could be more tangible than you think.
Check it out, huh?
Yeah, check it out.
Okay, to our radio audience, we say thank you for being with us today as I visited with Tim Tuttle, a 2004 graduate of UW-Parkside, who was taught at Julian Thomas and Jefferson Lighthouse Elementary Schools in Racine Unified, as well as in international schools in Turkey and South Korea. Thank you, Tim, for joining me today for this most informative program. We wish you well in your teaching experiences as well as your travel adventures. Finally, tune in next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. for another edition of Education Matters. This is your host, Dwayne Olson, thanking you for being with us today.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Support for WGTD comes from Classic Violins, quality and tradition since 1989. Featuring award-winning handcrafted violins, violas, and cellos, private and small group lessons for all ages and experience levels, woodwind and brass instrument rentals. Visit classicviolins.com, 577-5488.
Support for WGTD comes from Gateway Technical College. There are more jobs and opportunities out there than there are people to fill them. Gateway will prepare you for the growing job market. Life is big. Be prepared. Get started at gtc.edu.
Support comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, offering all of the ingredients for hearty soups, stews, and casseroles. This week's featured vendor is River Valley Ranch, bringing to market mushrooms, pickle goods, and more. The winter market is open Saturdays from 10 until 2 at the Rhodey. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by